taking the shots no other show dares to take.
I'll be Bruce. Straight. No chaser.
Offering analysis and opinions on the biggest names in sports.
You talking about Aubrey Bruce?
A sports talk show dedicated to covering every move the team, players, coaches, and executives make.
Straight. No chaser.
Covering all sides of the story.
The educational platform for us to educate that, you know, all that necessarily glitters isn't gold.
Get your audience into the game. The clock is ticking.
Hello there, friends and neighbors. This is Straight Up No Chaser, Aubrey Bruce. I'm sorry, we've got the boys here. Vince Butts, Isaac Cummings, right, and Raymond Porter, and our esteemed producer from Urban Media Today, Trevin Jones, running things. Thank you, Trevin. Thank you so much.
Of course. Yo, man, you guys have been on all these shows. Ray was on two shows yesterday. Isaac was on a show yesterday, Saturday. Today's Sunday morning, because we're at 9:30 early Sunday morning. You got some jazz coming on after your show today. And then we got Margo wrapping it up tonight at 6 o'clock. And then we got Brian Cook making it happen on Saturday. See how I just hijacked your show already, man?
That's what I like, man. You know, it's all about what we do. But I was thinking about some things, and Isaac is here, and he's part of an agency. They deal with sports agents, entertainment. And everybody's talking about Le'Veon Bell. We kind of alluded to this a little bit before, but do you think the NFL outslicked itself, basically saying that agents can only make 3%?
I definitely believe that they did. As you said, you know, you were breaking it down on the back end pertaining to, you know, what the agents were actually making previously, and it allowed them to negotiate better deals. But I believe that the NFL is shooting herself in the foot. Mm-hmm. You can see how it's impacting the game now. Like we actually, you know, one of the biggest things that's going on around right now is the concussion issue within the NFL and how the league is just attempting to overly protect the quarterbacks right now. And that actually just goes to show you that, you know, it's a situation where, you know, on a contractual standpoint, they're not negotiating the contracts well. There's too much leverage going to, you know, certain players, and it's a situation where it's like the game isn't what it was previously. Mm-hmm. You know, years ago, you know, it was more of a next man up type of mentality. Now it's really not that way, you know. So mm-hmm. I think the league, they do need to, you know, have some more meetings. And they need to, you know, come up with some type of a solution, because it's not fair to the players, and it's not fair to the fans as well, because it takes away from the sport whenever they're attempted to make, you know, drastic changes like they've made recently.
And it's all based on marketing. Again, you have to keep quarterbacks healthy mm-hmm. so you can keep the money healthy. Now Vince, do you think that NFL tried to be very covert when they cut agents' percentage down? They were trying to drive agents away, saying, if we're not making money, maybe we'll represent basketball, maybe we'll represent baseball, if we can't make the money representing NFL players.
I mean, on one hand, I think it's cool that there's a cap mm-hmm. on how much agents can make, because as we've heard many stories about athletes, you know, losing money, you know, to people who have access to their account. So, I mean, I know having if you're at a ceiling as an agent, maybe, you know, at 3%, maybe it leads you down a road where you want more money. You know, you see how much money some of these players are making, so you want a little bit more. So you try to circumvent, you know, agents and their accounts trying to get more money. If they're allowed to make more money, to capitalize more off of what players are able to make, maybe you don't see that, but I mean the league is all about, in terms of agents, super agents. I mean, mm-hmm. you have, you know, Tom Condon,
and you get Joel Siegel,
right? I mean, so those guys are really the agents who are commanding the big money. They're signing. I mean, they're signing. Mm-hmm. I think I read an article there. They have 75% of the market for players. Mm-hmm. So I mean, these are big money guys. I mean, if I'm a guy that loves sports and I want to be an agent, how hard is it for me to get into the league? Mm-hmm. You know, I gotta sign. You know, I see Trevin coming up. I gotta schmooze with him, and I gotta be cool with him, try to become his agent, and then try to, you know, filter through and try to get, you know, get a higher clientele. Mm-hmm. But I'm cool with 3%. I mean, how much should an agent make? You know,
well,
I mean,
well most agents, like for entertainment agents, they usually average between 10% and 15%, mm-hmm. usually, and that's just. And so I was thinking about football being entertainment. Maybe it may not go 15%, but maybe 10% at least.
But would you have? I mean, how many players are there in the NFL, and how many outside of that, just the regular entertainment industry? How many actors and actresses are there out there? Mm-hmm. So it seems to be I would imagine there's a bigger pool to pick from. So you have an opportunity of a lot more agents.
That's why it makes sense to make more, because actors and musicians are far more than football players. Mm-hmm. So that's why you should have more of a percentage from an agent representing a football player than you do an actor. Now, I can see 3% for actors or musicians, because there's a zillion of them out there. Mm-hmm. But just 3% for a limited amount of players, that doesn't make sense to me. Now, Ray, you know Aaron Donald real well. You're with the family. You know Aaron, and you know known him since his freshman year in college.
Mm-hmm.
How did they approach an agent, from your knowledge, in terms of him getting what he thought he deserved?
Well, here's one thing. I don't know his family. I mean, I only know because my connection. His connection.
I used to date his sister. No, I'm just kidding.
My sister. If he dated my sister, I'm gonna go upside his head.
You dated his sister. I thought you dated his sister. Before you got married, Ray.
You're funny. You know, I'm just messing with you. I'm messing with you. But. I don't. I mean, because he played ball with my nephew. I'm sorry. Can I get my family right? But the whole thing is, I could even use Bobby Engram as an example. Mm-hmm. And we had a good talk one time when he was a free agent. It was after Seattle. He was basically a free. He was like, people don't realize that whole process with working with agents and signing contracts. It's difficult. It's challenging, and you have to really be committed to it. So I believe that Donald and his family, like you see it, they found a very good agent to represent him and to make sure that he got what he wanted. I mean, look at what he went through. If you want to talk about somebody who was trying to get his monies, and he held out, he eventually showed up, and the Rams finally paid him. So I think that there was never really any friction other than that.
No, I can say this, because Ike Taylor is like my second son. He's mm-hmm. my adopted son. And when he was getting ready to renegotiate his contract, he had just signed with Joel Siegel. He fired his other agent.
Mm-hmm.
And Joel, remember all this stuff with the rumors, it was drama. Is Ike going to sign? He isn't going to sign. Ike said straight up to Joel, get it done. I'm right. signing with the Steelers. So if you get greedy, you'll be needy.
That's for sure.
So I think a player sometimes has to grab the bull by the horns.
That's good. I mean,
you know, and say, you know what? Even though you want to make this money, we have to make a deal, because I'm in the trust warehouse of these folks. Period.
And you know what? Also, I just to stand with you on the subject there. I think that the league, they do need to address it, because it's starting to become a monopoly. Because now it's a situation where it's like you're not within the first 10 to 20 picks. If you're some type of a sports agency and you have different agents, you know, signed, you know, to your agency, you know, it's a monopoly now. If you're not within that group, you're really not going to be able to get tied into the money to get bigger athletes. You know, so that's another thing as well, where it's like, you know, when you put that 2 to 3% on, you know, those up and coming agents, in order for them to build their profile and their roster, they have to, you know, sign. They're going to have to look for, you know, that diamond in the rough, really to get somewhere. Is with, you know, some of these bigger agents, you know, it doesn't really matter. It's already monopolized. It's like, hey, you know, you're coming in, your first 10 through 20 pick, we already got you. We already know what you're going to get, you know.
And those are excellent points as well, everybody. Excellent points. And I'm not trying to sound cheesy when I say this, but you go back to '96 and you've seen the story of Jerry Maguire. It was based on Lee Steinberg. And the story in itself was well written. You know, Tom Cruise played an agent that was trying to keep his clientele. But he wrote a book about the relationship between the agents and the players. Some people didn't agree with it. He ended up on his own. build some clientele. Cuba Gooding Jr.'s character, Rod Tidwell, hung on with him. And it just spoke about really the whole purpose of what they're supposed to do. And what was the catchphrase? Show me the money. And just how all that works. So, you know, it makes you wonder. I mean, and I guess they shouldn't be wrong. The players are getting all that they're supposed to get. And the agent's there for them. But it also helps them out with their percentage. Mm-hmm. So it is interesting. Yeah.
Bill Roden from the New York Times, good friend of mine, wrote a book called $40 Million Slaves, right? Talking about athletes and what was going on. And we were at the combines 1 year, and guys were running and getting their times, and they were like, they were checking their teeth almost like they were horses and stuff, right? Like they're animals. So I'm like, my thing is, it's still like that. You're checking your bone structure, and, you know, it's a situation that, like, they're studs ready to run the Kentucky Derby. And I'm saying, we have to look closely and align ourselves visually. Because if we just sit back and watch how fast the guy runs, how high he leaps, how hard he hits, but yet don't look at the aesthetics behind it, you know, it makes us, I mean, it's all, they're almost like indentured servants. I mean, the agents make players, like, not always. There's some good agents out there, you know, who represent the players and themselves, but generally, it might be a little weird. I'm hoping Trevor will join in on this for 1 second, please.
Oh, you know how I do, man. I'm already just lining up the ammunition and just ready to fire away. I just wanted to hear what all you all had to say. First and foremost, if you look at the Forbes list, the ranking of agents for the year 2013, anybody involved with football doesn't really make the top 10. The number 10 sports agent is a gentleman by the name of Todd France. So Todd France, he has a commission of $41.84 million. His contracts are worth $1.4 billion.
Who does he represent mostly?
Now, I don't know who he represents mostly, but I wanted to go to this next thing.
Okay.
The number 11 man on the list is Tom Condon that Vince had brought up. You and Vince had brought up. Okay. Tom Condon's commission is $39.46 million. His contracts are around $1.3 billion. Mm-hmm. Okay. In contracts. I bring that up to say this. They're 10 and 11. Three of the top 10 agents, sports agents, according to Forbes in 2018, are in soccer. Jorge Mendez is number two on the list. He has $100 million
incredible
commission. Okay, his contracts are $1 billion. Then you have Jonathan Barnett's commission, $79.5 million. His contract is at his $795 million. His contracts. Okay, and then the other soccer is Mino Raiola. $62.8 million in commissions. His contracts are worth $628 million. The top sports agents in 2018, according to Forbes, is Scott Boras, who deals in baseball. Okay.
Oh, yes.
$105 million in commission, $1.9 billion in contracts.
Does soccer have a cap?
No.
Baseball has a false cap.
Okay.
Right?
But and we're talking agents, though.
But what I'm saying, that's why they can make this money, even if they do a small percentage, because there's no cap.
But see, I think what happens a lot is a young prospect in any sport signs with someone they're very comfortable with.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
But when you know, and so there was, you know, that agent, initial agent is responsible for that first contract. That player becomes a superstar.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to move on, you know, to the bigger and better fish.
That's what
so
I
that
did.
So that they can negotiate the big contract for you.
That's exactly what
so,
I did.
So to me, that's more the issue to me is finding a way to limit how much control the top agents have. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe you find a way to cap how many athletes they represent, or how many dollars that they are able to pull in. I don't know if you're able to do that legally.
Right.
So I mean, to me, that's more of an issue. Is, you know, the small guy who gets his guy in the league, but then succumbs to, you know, the big fish, and has to give up his client, or his client decides, my bad. You know, we had a good run, but basically I'm a superstar now. So I'm going to slide over here.
And that's what I was saying, too, as far as it being a little bit monopolized as well, because you got to understand, on a marketing standpoint, some of these bigger agents, they already have different deals, sponsorships, endorsement deals, and things like that, which is their job to pass those opportunities along to the players.
Right.
Like to touch base with a player like Aaron Donald, he's probably the best defensive player in the league, but he doesn't get that talk and notoriety that some of these other players would get, and that can, you know, come from whatever agency it is that, you know, you're represented by. So that can become a monopoly as well, where it's like, okay, look, if I have, you know, 10, 20, you know, top 50, you know, American corporations that, you know, I'm in bid with, you're going to want to sign with me,
right,
you know, over another agent. You
right,
know what
yeah,
I mean?
Cause, so, right, because that agency is going to be able to maximize, you know, if I'm the athlete, they're going to, you know, I'm looking at, how are they going to maximize my portfolio?
Exactly. You know? And then it kicks back to what you were saying, because it's almost a form of double dipping as well. If you're able to, you know, get money from corporations and sponsorships, plus you're able to get that 2-3%, right, which is a large percentage, because these players are coming in first round. They're making some serious money.
Right.
So you're making a couple mil off of that first initial deal, and that's not even with the re-up,
right,
you know, because you're making even more.
Right.
So I think that's what it gets down to, is that they just need to find a way to, you know, create a little bit more structure, a little bit more balance, that's all.
Balance. Number one sports agency. I talked about Todd Francis. Mm-hmm. And I apologize, who had in contracts $1.4 billion. He's the number one agent in the NFL, okay? His agency is number one, okay? He has 86 clients. And like I said, it's $1.4 billion. Guess who's his number one client in the NFL? I'll give each one of you a guess.
Tom Brady?
No, wait. Hold it. You're the host. who you think, Vince?
I feel like it's a quarterback. I have no idea.
Just come on, man.
I don't know. I can't even think. I can't think anybody. Who...
All right, Ray, who you think?
I was honestly going to say probably Khalil Mack.
Khalil Mack. Okay. Who do you think, Aubrey?
You know me, I'm generic. I'm going to say Tom Brady.
Okay. Who do you think, Isaac?
I think it's Khalil Mack.
On the mic. You got to get on the mic.
Yeah, I think it's Khalil Mack.
It's Matt Ryan. It's Matty Ice, who's his number one client. And then he also has Fletcher Cox. He has Cordy Glenn and Aqib Talib. So those are his headlining clients. It's just interesting. You talk defensive player. Okay, he got Fletcher Cox in there. But, I mean, Fletcher Cox is no Aaron Donald.
Right.
you know, he's no Ndamukong Suh, you know, type of thing. So that this is kind of interesting that he has that type of paper, so to speak.
Did you say
and
he
those
had,
are his
he had 86 clients?
86.
I mean, it's the numbers.
So, what makes it so devious is that money breeds money. Mm-hmm. So if he has 86, then everybody wants to be with him. Mm-hmm. He's getting them the money.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So you're leaving the other ones. And there's some good agencies out there.
Mm-hmm.
Even my boys from SLG, right?
Mm-hmm.
But people are building walls because of the fact that they're all in bed together.
Mm-hmm.
The commissioner, I used to write scouting reports. I know that some agents get some scouting reports and some of them don't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Bill Nunn used to keep film and hide film. Right, so NFL owners didn't he Ray? So the NFL owners couldn't evaluate the players from the small black colleges, of which Trevin is HBCU announcer. He would hide film so people couldn't check it out.
Mm.
So it's a situation that go ahead, that's
all right. Look, I was thinking, and I was hoping I came up with the right agency, Clutch Sports.
Mm-hmm.
We know Rich Paul with LeBron James.
Right.
So you think about, I mean, he's trying to get himself into that arena with the big boys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, I mean, think about whatever stake LeBron has in Clutch Sports.
Didn't those brothers do like a $1 billion deal?
I mean, they're. I mean, I think they're working to
his posse.
They're working towards that if they haven't already.
Yeah,
you look at everything on the peripheral, like mm-hmm. so everything that LeBron is doing mm-hmm. outside of basketball is generating money.
That's why he's the king,
right? So I imagine that Clutch Sports is, you know, I don't know where they're on the list,
mm-hmm.
but I imagine in a few years, they're because they're always looking to bring on talent.
But you know what? In that situation too, LeBron, man, he's a completely different animal because he's like the athlete agent himself. Like mm-hmm. yeah. he's dictating what he's going to get paid, who's playing on the team. Like he's dictating a lot of stuff, so he would be the exception to the rule.
And there is no negotiation.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that, you know, like we were talking about how there's a small group of agents mm-hmm. who have the majority of the contracts.
Right.
I just see an agency like Clutch, you know, start to bring themselves into the picture mm-hmm. with some of those top agencies, but. You know, they're going to attract a lot of a lot of players because of what LeBron mm-hmm. brings to the table.
A lot of that first round talent, mm-hmm.
right?
And they are. And I'm gonna tell you what, to get back to the list. Vince, the timing that you just did was impeccable. Now I know, Aubrey, this is your show.
I'm loving. It's our show. This is a real NFL show.
Yeah. And it's straight up No Chaser with Aubrey Bruce. And the thing I like what Vince just said. This is just how my mind works. Mm-hmm. I'm looking, I see the top 10, and I'm looking through, and I see no color. No, I see Latinos, some Latino brothers in the top 10. Okay. But I don't see any African-Americans or any black men.
Right.
So as Vince is talking, I go through the list, and I'm like, aha, at number 21 is Jay-Z's Rock the Nation Sports mm-hmm. Agency, which is off the hook, okay? Mm-hmm. At number 26 is Clutch Sports mm-hmm. with Mr. Rich Paul. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now with Clutch Sports, you know, they're at 25 million, which seems like pittance compared to what I just told you in reference to the top 10, you know, sports representatives, sports agencies. But they have contracts that total $624 million. Their top clients, John Wall, LeBron James, Eric Bledsoe, Tristan Thompson and J.R. Smith. That's interesting. Cleveland Cavaliers. But, of course, you're looking at LeBron James. Mm-hmm. But that's not – and they only have 12 clients. So if you're generating $624.8 million off of 12 clients, can you imagine how much money they would have if they had 86 clients like Todd France? I mean, they may be at the top of the list. Right. You know, so it's interesting that you gentlemen are talking about that. And I was going through to look at that, and I thought to myself, wow, okay. And Vince said – because I think you were breaking it down. You said, okay, Todd France, you know, those numbers that he had in the billions, well, how many clients? Mm-hmm. You said 86. I get it. You know, there's power in numbers. And why I said that, I was interested in Jay-Z. Now, Jay-Z's Rock the Nation Sports agency. I mean, Jay-Z deals in music, too. So that's what helps him. But at the same time, when I was trying to look through here to see what type of athletes that he was representing, he got Melvin Ingram, Robinson Cano, Rusini Castillo, and Todd Gurley. So he went football, baseball, mm-hmm. you know, football. So he's going around.
I think they do mm-hmm. boxing, too.
Andre Ward
was signed to him as well. And that kicks back to what we've been saying as well. You know, it's all about sponsorships and endorsements. And that's what Jay-Z and Rock Nation bring to the table for all his athletes. And that's how they're able to get – you know, the portfolio that they have, you know, now. They're getting a lot of first-round talent.
And he has 56 clients.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is amazing to me. I mean, so he's $934 million in contracts.
Quick question to you, Trevin. Do you think – okay, they have a cap on everything. Don't you think they should have a cap on people allowed on the agent's roster?
No, I don't think there should be a cap on anything, Aubrey, to be honest with you. And the reason I say that, this is America. Mm. You know, people are out to make money in America. Mm. So now, you know, with this economy the way it is, you know, people are already struggling trying to make dollars. So now once you get into these organizations and you say, okay, if I'm an NBA player, no, not even NBA, we'll go to NFL. I'm an NFL player. I'm the best NFL player in the league.
Right.
You're going to tell me that there's a certain amount of money I can make?
No. Not on the players. But these agents having like 86 players or 100 players. That's a gluttony, and it's monopolizing the market, like that Isaac had alluded to. Mm. The monopoly scares me, because then you go back to the slave master indentured servant thing, where you got a small group of individuals controlling the economic flow of any entity.
Mr. Aubrey Bruce, that is America. That is America in a nutshell. You have a small, you have a minority controlling the majority. That is the way of life. Okay, so if that is the way of life, don't give me falsehoods on the sports playing field, or even in the sports arena. If I'm an agent, and I'm gonna tell you this, because if Jay-Z and Rock the Nation Sports, or if Clutch comes through and starts getting 50 to 100 to 150. I don't want you coming back to me saying, now there needs to be a cap. Because these are brothers making things happen. Yeah. So when the other brothers start to jump on that ship, I don't want there to be, there's a limit. Mm-hmm. Because there's power in numbers. And believe me, as Vince brought it up, Clutch Sports, I believe in that. Jay-Z's Rock the Nation Sports. These younger brothers that are coming along, and even some of the veterans, they're going to change their stripes and actually jump on to these organizations. I don't want there to be a cap in place to stop that.
Okay. But my dad used to say, it's hard to compete with old money.
And that's true. It is always hard to compete with old money. But it's also hard to compete with the old boy network, which needs to be broken up. So, I mean, that's just how I look at that. But, yeah, man, I don't think there should be a cap, if you want my answer.
Cool. Vince, what do you think?
I don't think there should be a cap either. I think, like Trevin said, this is America, you know. I mean, you look at like how much of the money in America is controlled by,
it's a small percent. That's right, 1%.
And I would hate to see, like you said, I would hate to see for, Rock Nation or Clutch to get up in there, and then they change the rules on us.
Oh yeah, you only have 10 players.
Because it'll happen.
Ray, you can't get away, man. You over there, but you got to tell me what you think about this for real.
Nah, no cap. It doesn't make no sense to do that. I mean, just let the agents who are representing these players get what they're supposed to without being limited. Because let's be honest, I mean, especially in this day and age, I mean, without them, the players aren't going to get the monies. Period. Okay. Unless they're Ray Allen.
That's right. You're
in his rookie year, had an attorney negotiate his deal. You know, so I just believe that they shouldn't do that. And this is the reason why, especially in the NFL, that it's going to be a strike in 2020. Period.
Well, Isaac, I might as well bat zero. You might as well tell me.
Actually, you know what? I wouldn't say that there should be, a cap on the amount of athletes that, they can actually sign. But I would say that they do need to maybe like create some structure on the back end where it's more or less like, hey, you have a company and there's agents that conduct all of your business within whatever sport it is that you're in. And then you would have to go potentially to another company for sponsorships and endorsements. And then maybe, move that percentage maybe from that 2-3%, maybe up to a 10-15%. Because now it's a situation where it's like, hey, you have the agent. This is his one specific task. Is it just to handle your contract negotiation and be that liaison, between you and whatever team it is that you signed to? And then you have, maybe like a marketing or promotional firm or something like that, is giving you sponsorships, endorsement deals, other opportunities, So that's what I think is maybe that's what they actually should do. And that's kind of the situation with SLG as well. Mm-hmm. They more or less are committed to, handling everything on an agent standpoint. And then you also have sports marketing firm who comes in and they actually are the ones that would, present different opportunities and then also, market or promote you and help you build your brand. So
you don't hear this stuff on The Final Word on Sunday. You don't hear this type of stuff only on Urban Media Today, straight up No Chaser. Now let's jump on this pending or looming Cleveland Browns Pittsburgh Steelers matchup at Heinz Field. We have to ask the resident Brownie first, Mr. Mr. Vince Butts. What's going on there, Vince?
Look, it's to be honest, I want my Browns to win. I just don't think they will.
Well, guys, it's time for us. We have to say goodbye. So saying goodbye for Vince Butts, Ray Porter, Isaac Cummings, Aubrey Bruce, and of course, the resident media guy, Trevin Jones. Straight up no trace.
Who thinks the Browns are going to win today?
See you guys next week.
Taking the shots no other show dares to take.
Aubrey Bruce. Straight. No chaser.